Access number 30402, Mr. Ken Austin, Real One. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Austin?
Well, I was born in Limehouse in 1931.
What was the date?
27th of January.
And could you tell us a bit about your background, you know, what your father did for a living? And
well, my father was a transport driver, worked for Charles Poulter. Mum never worked.
How many in the family?
But at that time, my sister came along about 18 months afterwards. So that was me and my sister up to near enough the wartime.
Was it a comfortable, I mean, was your dad in steady employment? Was it a reasonably comfortable?
Oh, yeah. And he was also well up in the Odd Fellas and also the union. He was secretary of number one branch of London. So he used to give a lot of stuff out, like for people to work. So he was very active in things, you know, for people and for work and health and stuff like that. So he was very good at what he'd done, you know, because he, by what I can remember, so many people always came to him for help or anything. So that I can remember.
Do you remember what kind of a house, what kind of street you lived in at the
yeah,
time?
Yeah, I lived in Garford Street next to Charlie Brown's, down by Charlie Brown's, the pub. They were friends of my family, you know. So.
And what was the house like? Comfortable or?
Well, it's not too bad as far as I can remember, you know.
Now, had you started school before? Well, you would have done before. You'd be eight when the war started.
Yeah.
Where did you started school?
What age?
When and where?
Oh, that I can't. I know it's somewhere in Limehouse, but I can't remember offhand what. And I went to two different places, but the first school was more like an infant's type of stuff, you know. So you'd never done many educational things. It was always you were there and looked, stayed, that sort of thing, you know. And then my sister. And then, as far as I remember, I must have gone to another school, a little bit bigger. But and that's as far as I know, you know.
Now, what about the war? What do you remember about? I know you were only eight, but do you remember sort of when the war broke out?
I remember that because my dad's brothers were all merchant seamen, and most of them used to stay at our house when they came to dock. And his youngest brother got killed on the first merchant ship that was sunk during the war. But we got bombed out twice.
Now, that's a bit later.
But before then, I remember, you know, helping, getting his stuff like the ARP people, putting buckets and stirrup pumps all around, helping Dad and all that caper, you know, and because of a night time, or when they finished work, they was always called upon to do all these jobs. So I used to help, you know, carry the stuff and put it along the street where it was needed.
So tell us a bit more about it. So you helped with the ARP. You weren't a member of it, obviously, but you were just your dad.
But helping Dad and those people along the road, because I must have been getting on somewhere near 9 years old then, so old enough to help, you know.
Now, what about, did you have your own air raid shelter, or what air raid shelter did you...
No, they had one, the brick ones, built across the road in the, there was a block of flats, and the yard, sort of the outside place, they had these air raid shelters built there.
Now, what was it like? Because, I mean, there's still a few of them left about, those flat-top brick ones, but not many. What was it like inside?
Well, it depends on when you got in early enough, you know, because some people had their husbands or that still at working, and some they finished work and got home and had something to eat. So if they were late, they came in late, but then they all sort of, those who got in there early was all move about to make room, you see. It was always like that. But when you really got bombing, everybody either got to the door or ready to help somebody else who was bombed, sort of thing. I went out a couple of times.
Hang on. What was it like in the air raid shelter?
Well, it was like a stone or concrete block.
How big?
I would say a little bit bigger than this room.
So about 30 feet?
30 foot, yeah.
By how much?
The length of two people laying down. So if you work, if you worked a person that's 5 foot, it'd be 10 foot something across, you see, because you laid your bed down or whatever you brought over to lay down.
So there's no benches or bunk beds or anything?
Oh, no, no, you just brought stuff over.
And what was the atmosphere like in there, in every way?
Well, it's hard because a couple of times I had to go to different ones, and some it was all right. But it's the type of people that you had. I mean, some of them, like, you got to try to sleep at night. And when the siren went and there was bombing near, some people got really tight and frightened, you know, and screaming out at night, and they wanted to do this. And they were, so really, in some ways, it wasn't always the enemy that made you frightened. It was the attitude of people that was with you in the air raid shelter. And you always heard mum saying, "Oh, quiet down, you lay there, no, that won't hurt you." The children that was in there, some were younger than me, was sort of penned up because of the attitude of other people in there. Then when the bombs dropped near you, which they often did, it was really every man from himself, or you get out to help others at an air raid shelter. You had three or four air raid shelters in a row that been bombed or something like that, or the warehouses up, because I was right along the docks, you know, and you get one of those bombed and everybody was out to help. Or if you get a stick of sentries come down, so everybody was out putting them out or pumping the stirrup pump with something.
Even you?
Even youngsters, yeah. Well, I mean, so a lot of men were called up. So there was only old men, or men that couldn't be called up, or women that were looking after children. So youngsters were called upon to help dad or whoever was out there to pump the stirrup pumps while they squirted or found these bombs, you know, wherever they was. And you, I mean, so you could never tell where they was until they burst. Because they dropped and they stayed dead for a minute, and then all of a sudden they burst and the phosphorus stuff comes out, and that's it.
Now, I mean, how much damage was done locally around? Because you're right in the target area there, aren't you?
I was in Limehouse, and when the actual 9 miles of fire that night, I mean, so my dad was to me was an hero, because at the bottom of the road that went into a tea warehouse, there was two petrol tankers parked there, and the tea warehouse was on fire. It laid the whole street and all the tops of the houses all with glowing tea. And they went out and started, got the vehicle started and pulled them away and took them out, because otherwise, if they got caught, they would have caused terrific trouble.
They were full
of petrol, yeah. And I went down to the dock because he needed somebody, people to guide him or say, you know, come on out this way or back over or whatever. And I looked across the Thames and there was three barges, like in the water, big barges. And this plane came down, dropped a torpedo, and it hit the water, jumped over the three barges. But coming out from the dock, there was a police boat with six police, and it hit that. And it blew their bodies straight up in the air. I remember seeing them, the bodies floating in the air before they came down. But that was a terrible thing to see. And then I found out afterwards that the three barges were full of ammunition and stuff ready to go to military people.
So it's all, I mean, how come you weren't evacuated?
I was.
Ah, right, okay. So what happened there?
Well, me and my sister got evacuated to Devon, to Salcombe, Devon.
When was that, though?
That was just after, when they first made the decision, the government, that all children in London area should be...
So that's before the bombing?
That was before
the bombing. September?
Right.
39.
So we went...
Now that's to Salcombe?
Salcombe, Devon, yeah.
Now what do you remember of that evacuation?
Well, I remember we got there, very distinctly, and we were all sort of in a farm barn, right, and people come and took people at a time, kids at a time, and it came right to the end. It was me and my sister and a dark girl, an Indian girl called Lily. We were the only three left, and the people that was old, I said, well, we don't know what to do. All of a sudden a woman came in and said she was a maid for Admiral Street. He was an admiral high-ranking naval bloke, and she's had instructions to take somebody down. So they said, well, it's only these three, but the two, brother and sister, mustn't be split up. They've got... Oh. So she said, well, just a minute. So she went out to the farm, phoned up and said the situation. So the woman there said, right, bring the old three down. So we went to this house, massive. It's now an hotel, yeah, because I've been there since the, you know, on only. But they were lovely people. Their eldest son, he was a captain in the Navy. But the thing is, Salcombe Harbour was such that during the war they brought in, you know, when the French sort of give up sort of thing, and a lot of the stuff was either brought across there or taken somewhere and sunk, and they brought two French ships into the Salcombe Harbour, a bit damaged, and that caused the Germans to start bombing up that end, you know. So my mum and dad heard about it, you know, that Salcombe, so she got in touch with Miss Tree, and we weren't there all that long. And
about how long do you think?
I haven't a clue. Must be 8-9 months, maybe less than that. And my dad got a car from a friend, and they came all the way from London to Limehouse, picked us up and took us home. So Mum used to say, well, if the bomb's going to kill one of us, it's going to kill the lot. And that was her attitude of my dad. So we went back, and then by then we got back was the start of the actual Blitz.
And that's what you were talking about before.
And that's what happened. Like,
now, do you remember any incidents from the Blitz? I mean, there was a lot happening in your area.
Oh,
have you got
yeah,
any other
yeah.
stories about it?
Well, I mean, so where I was, like Garfield Street, was a sort of... A banana-shaped road went right round. And there was a big wall. At the top was a furniture place and a church. And just the other side of the wall was a barrage balloon place. And I remember one night, it was early even because it was summertime, that it wasn't dark, pitch black. And there was people running about from East India docks and at the top. And barrage balloon was shot down, but the cable came down, whipping along the road and cut people in half. It was whirled like a whirl, you know, a big spring. And it came along the road, it was cutting people's legs and arm as it whips along. I remember that, and also...
You saw that then?
What?
You actually saw it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we looked at. And then another time, a Spitfire got shot down, but it happened to have one of these Polish pilots. And the women, it came down by parachute, but the women from the street and the area, they come out their air raid shelters, and they got this bloke, and they thought he was a German because he couldn't speak English. And they practically ripped him to death, just smashed, tore him to bits, because they thought he was a German bombing them. You know, they went really potty.
I mean, really. Was he all right?
No, he died.
He died?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Whether it was hushed up or ever mentioned, I don't know, but that's what actually happened.
Did you see that, or was that a rumour, or did you hear
no,
it?
No, no. I see the women going, I see them come back, and they, because some of us, the youngsters, was told to keep still, and they were cheering what they'd done. So then I heard me dad and somebody else along the street talking about what had happened. But I remember the parachute coming down. I remember seeing them coming down just along the other side of the buildings. What else?
How much damage locally? What do you remember of the damage to the
Lots of damage. What? I mean, say the furniture place was set on light, but the church was blown to bits. I remember loads of warehouses along the end of the road that were all on fire. I remember seeing the fire, the whole area, say for 8 or 9 miles, you could see it was just one big glow and everything. But when we couldn't go back because part of the back of the house and everything was bombed and blown to bits. So we had to move. So we went to Wanstead Flats where my aunt lived, and we stayed with her.
Now, what had happened to your house? Were you in it when it was, or were you in an area?
No, one of my dad's brothers was, but the bomb went at the back of the house and blew him right through the passageway out the front door.
And so you moved to Wanstead Flats?
Yeah, that's up to my aunt. But we didn't stay there long because she got bombed. And I remember the attack.
I can't remember that.
I remember the AK-AK guns and the radar place on the flats and all the army people around there. And then me dad, who was always...
So what happened when you were bombed out at that one? Do you remember?
So what happened to what?
Well, you were bombed out at Wanstead Flats, you said, as well.
No, the bombs dropped near. A bomb, but...
near, not bombed out, right.
They never actually blew all the... But it blew a lot of the front and the stuff in, you know, all the windows and stuff like that. It wasn't... The actual house didn't collapse or anything like that. But it got so bad there, because with the guns and that, you couldn't go out at night because you were more likely killed by your own bloody shrapnel and stuff coming back down.
That was a real risk, was it?
Very, very. I mean, say, next morning... Even when I was in Lymouth, to pick up red hot pieces of shrapnel along the road going to school. And the same at Wanstead Flats. And then my dad, who was on the road, he remembered a place at Ornchurch where he used to deliver. And he came up in, he knew a friend up here who had a house, or dealt with houses, and he got him a house in the Elms, in Emerson Park. Because a lot of the houses there, a lot of them was all millionaires, and they all moved to Canada, so they left their houses vacant or to be rented.
And so you moved there?
Yeah.
Now, just a general question, how much affected food rationing have you, or sweet rationing in particular?
Well, it was funny, you see, because when we moved, when we lived in London, it was rather peculiar because we had a friend who was in my grandfather owned a greengrocery. So he could, and we also knew shop people that had general stores sort of thing. So we were all right there. Like if we were short of anything, we always could see grand, like, mostly vegetables and stuff like that. But when we went to my aunt's in Forest Gate, food, then it was really tight because you only lived off your ration book because we didn't know nobody up there.
Forest Gate's the Wanstead bit, isn't it?
I mean, to Wanstead, yeah, Forest Gate. That's Wanstead, the Wanstead Flats. But then when we moved up to Ornchurch, it was a different kettle of fish because you think this is a big garden, this is small, to the garden we had at Emerson Park. And the thing was, when we lived there, first, we had the house, and at the back of the house, there was a lean-to, a big lean-to, then a lawn, a tennis court, And then rose gardens, then a vegetable garden, then a wire fence, right? But next door to us was a Dr. Andrews, who's one of the inventors of X-rays. And because he invented all this stuff, all his hands and fingers were burnt. So I used to be his fingers. If he was making anything up and he couldn't hold it, I used to go in and be his fingers. Then one day I went in there, he said, "Oh, will you tell your dad to get rid of all those weeds and all that stuff growing wild?" So I said, "Yeah." Bit of what I thought was our garden was beautiful. Kept, my dad was most particular about getting. So I said, "Well, no." He said, "No, the bit of the fence." So I said, "What, you mean a bit of the back of the fence?" So he said, "Yeah." He said, "That's yours." There was 70 fruit trees in there. Massive great orchard. So as soon as my dad knew that, we got chickens and ducks and stuff, geese. So we used to keep them all in the back there so we could supply anybody we liked with apples, pears, stuff like that. Also eggs and stuff. So and then when it comes to meat, so really that part, the latter part of the war, when we moved, we lived quite comfortably food-wise.
Did you miss sweets?
Pardon?
Did you miss sweets? Being a kid, did you miss sweets? A big shortage of sweets.
Sweets?
Not bothered.
Well, it's funny. I used to do a job at the bottom of the cellar. There used to be a firm called the Sack Firm. Right, used to make sacks, and I used to go down there, and I used to get there. They used to have to tea in urns, little urns, and I had a big stick with all the different coloured urns and names on them. And I used to go to this cafe along the road and get filled up, and then come back, and they used to give me a penny or halfpenny for doing it, and I used to mostly give that to my mum. Well, this time a new manager came this day, and I've got all these things. And I said to this chap, "Would you like?" "Yeah, yeah." He said, "What do you do?" So I said, "Well, there's a spare what's it over there. Put your name on it." I said, "And I'll go and get it filled up." They have to charge how much? So what it was, I think it was about eightpenny or something to have it filled. So I came back. I put all this stuff in, and this bloke was so pleased. Now usually I get about 3 halfpence for doing it, and I'll give me mum that. This bloke gave me a penny, 3 halfpence above, so I didn't want to sell me mum, and that I got. So I went down to the shop that I knew on the corner and bought a funnel. And I mean, so do you know what a funnel was?
Can you explain for them, because they might not know?
Well, a funnel is, you get a big lump of square of paper, and you fold it up or roll it up like a big funnel, like a thing that you're going to megaphone. And then you fill it up with whatever you ordered. And I ordered these popcorns. Well, I ordered a farthing's worth to people that are now. I couldn't believe it, but a farthing's worth in the disc was massive. It was right full to the top. So I couldn't go home with this farthing's worth of popcorn things because mum was asked, "What are you doing? How did you get that?" So I sat on the corner as I was turning the net, and I was so bad, I felt so ill, that after that I very rarely went and got sweets or stuff. So it wasn't until like a lot bit older I got chocolate or something like that, but that really put me off of sweets.
What about clothing rationing? Did that affect you at all?
Well, no. Well, really, we were quite all right because mum could make stuff, you know, like if you needed. But I mean, say, your clothes, I must say, I had some photos of that. My mother and father were very good at keeping us shoes and clothes, you know, they wasn't short of anything like that.
Now, I mean, did you play on the bomb sites? I mean, people always talk
about
that.
No, not play because I. But I tell you what I did do. Don't worry, there's a bee in line.
No, you're all right. You don't have to worry about anything.
Before the war, actually, I remember going to the end of the road to East Indian Dock Road, and I remember the black shirts, and I remember blowing up a letterbox and also a shop front, and I remember the march and the big fight because a lot of Londoners, my dad and some of his brothers and that, went up there to stop them, and I can remember that vividly, you know, how bad that fight was in the Commercial Road and up that way, you know.
You were actually there during the big fights on the street.
Yeah, I was a lot younger then. I must have been about five or six.
What could you see? I mean...
What do you mean, what can I see?
Well, what did you say you remember it? What do you remember about it? Or do you just remember it happening?
Oh, no, I remember some very bad fights. And I remember people that got hit with stuff like whatever they picked up. Remember them lying in the gutter and that, being looked after by other people. Because I'd only gone up there. My dad said, I went up with my dad that. He was going to one of the shops up there to get something, and I was going to bring it back to Mum. Why him and a couple of his brothers who was home went and see what was happening, because they heard about this big march and that. But before I got the stuff to get away, that's when the fight and everything started, you know, all the cheering and didn't want to get rid of them and all that caper, you know, because... My dad and his brothers, though they were merchant seamen, they used to cart loads of stuff from the 600 group, the metal place, to Hamburg. All the metal, they used to take shipload and shipload of it. And they used to say, when they went to Germany, the way the attitude there, it won't be long before we start getting it back. And that was a couple of years before the war started. So what they said came true, and they were really against anybody that was sort of fascist. So you can imagine what they done with those black shirts and that up there. So it wasn't a pretty sight for their side, you know.
Now, how was your education affected by the war? I mean,
very bad.
In what way?
Because the school got bombed, and I had a great education up to that time, because what with the how can I say, the attitude of people and the schooling system at that time wasn't all that bottling limehouse. It wasn't great, you know. And then when I got evacuated, there was no school at all. All we did was sat in a barn, and some old lady used to come and read books to us. And that was it. And then when I came to Hornchurch and came back, because you hadn't learnt anything or hadn't been taught anything, you was always put in the bottom class. And all we had there was some woman who used to read nothing but Shakespeare. There was only one teacher who done science, and I really enjoyed her. But other than that, whatever I've learnt, I've had to learn myself. I must admit that regarding writing and reading, I can read, but regarding spelling or anything like that, I'm bloody useless there.